This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So the topic is, how do we benefit from the Quran? It's a very big topic, no doubt, and a lot can be said about it. And due to the length of this reminder, I'm going to, inshallah, just give key messages, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow us to benefit from these messages and build on them. No doubt, one of the most important things in benefiting from the Quran is to, first of all, have the right mindset, the right attitude towards the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith, he said, "Ad-dinu an-nasiha." He said that three times. Deen is nasiha, and nasiha can be translated as sincerity. And when they said, "O Messenger of Allah, to whom is this sincerity? To whom is this nasiha?" He said, "Lillah, wa li kitabihi, wa li rasulihi, wa li a'immati al-muslimin wa 'ammatihim." So the sincerity has to be directed to Allah, to His book, to His messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the leaders of the Muslims and to their general public. The point being here is that the mentioning of an-nasiha, the sincerity to the book of Allah, means that a person needs to understand, or needs to realize, that they have to have that kind of want to link to the book of Allah. And note here in this hadith, the beauty that we can see is in that this hadith, that he distinguished between Allah and his book. So having sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one aspect, and focusing and having sincerity to the book of Allah means that this warrants more attention. It doesn't mean that, obviously, as we believe that the book of Allah is His word, and so it is part of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is a focus, and it's like an attention. You need to be concerned with the book of Allah. So having the nasiha, having the right mindset in understanding that this is the words of Allah, and if they are the words of Allah, and they are the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a Muslim who believes in Allah, as a Muslim who understands who Allah is, the creator, understands his position in life, knows that Allah wants from him certain aspects, then the words of Allah are not like any other words. The words of Allah are the words from the magnificent Almighty Creator, who has sent down and has chosen these words from His infinite words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words are infinite, as He mentions to us in Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Luqman, that, you know, the words of Allah cannot be enumerated, they cannot be written. No matter how many seas you try to use as ink, and how many trees, branches you use as writing instruments and implements, you will not be able to collate and gather the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from those words, Allah has chosen the Quran, which is, as we know, it has an amount of words, has an amount of verses, has an amount of signs and ayat and surah. So from there, Allah has chosen them. So that means that these words are special. And they are special in another way, because they are the only words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are unchanged. You know, today, some people might claim that, you know, things like the Torah or the Injil or the which they believe might be preserved in the Bible, Christians and Jews themselves do not agree about who are the authors of the Bible, who wrote the Bible. You know, the Bible, when you read it, you can see it's written very much like a biography, like a seerah, describing what happened here and, you know, etc. In fact, some of it is also messages related to people who were not even prophets. So the Quran has that superior claim that it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is untainted, unchanged, and it is there for you to access. So therefore, that mindset is important. Thirdly, it's very important to understand that the Quran, it has information relating to history of people from before. It has scientific facts. It has linguistic greatness and eloquence, and what might seem to people as, you know, in a format which is can be considered as strange, meaning that not usually used, but so eloquent in that. It has aspects of aqidah, it has aspects of fiqh, it has aspects of guidance, teaching, all that is in the Quran. But the one word that encompasses all the Quran is that it is huda. It is a guidance. And it is a guidance for us to seek in the Quran where we can live our life, how to live our life to the best, how to make use of the Quran so that we can achieve the best. Now, having that kind of attitude to the Quran will allow us to benefit from the Quran. Why are we saying this? Because when we're talking about benefiting the Quran, we are, and I will mention a little bit about the hasanat, obviously, as also Sheikh Abdullah mentioned previously, but also it is important about that not just attaining the hasanat, but remember, this is a key. And that's why we have to understand that the Quran is a key to us seeking the guidance. Everybody, we want guidance. This is what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in, day out. At least, you know, 17 times a day when we are praying our fourth prayer, and we're probably praying more, inshallah. We are asking Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. We want the guidance. And Allah says, this is the guidance. So look for the guidance in the Quran. Number fourth, and importantly to understand as well, is that there is power in the Quran. With the Quran comes honor. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chose Jibreel to be the messenger to carry the Quran. And so Jibreel was elevated because he was the messenger of the Quran. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel. So he became the greatest of angels because he was carrying the Quran. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the Quran. And so his link was with the Quran. The best months is the month of Ramadan because in it the Quran was sent down. Laylatul Qadr is the greatest of nights, better than 1,000 months because the Quran was, it began to be descended in that month, and so on and so forth. So the link and the power and the honor of the Quran has encompassed all of those things, that all of those people and all of those things that I've mentioned, because it's the Quran. That's why it's not strange that we can hear and we can see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamah." The best of you, the best among you, are those who learn the Quran and teach it to others. So therefore, you can see that khayriya, that greatness, is attached to the Quran. And indeed, in one hadith, the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he appointed someone called Nafi' ibn Abdul Harith as the governor of Mecca. Nafi' ibn Harith, on one occasion, he met with Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was the Khalifa. And obviously, he had come to meet Umar, and therefore he had vacated Mecca. So Umar said to him, "Who have you left in charge of Mecca?" Meaning in your absence, who have you deputized? He said, "I have left Ibn Abi Abza." Ibn Abi Abza? Umar said, "I've never heard of this man. Who is Ibn Abi Abza?" He said, "He is one of our mawali, one of our freed slaves," meaning that he used to be a slave, but he has become emancipated, he has been freed, and he is now in charge. So Umar said, "You have left a free slave in charge of Mecca." And the surprise here is not that there's anything wrong with somebody who is a slave or about race, it's not about race or the like, but it is generally more related to a person's skills. And slaves who have lived a certain time as slaves, they would have probably had got used to a certain mindset You know, today people who are running countries or business, or they have to be in their certain mindset of knowing how to manage, how to look after affairs, etc. So the surprise of Umar wasn't related to from a racial or ethnic perspective, but it's more about mindset. But so Umar said, you have left that, and he was more surprised. But he said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is someone who memorizes the Quran. He recites the Quran, meaning he's learned in the Quran, and he is somebody who has knowledge of the fara'id, the knowledge of how to divide the inheritance and the like, meaning that he is somebody who is a faqih, because the word qari as well in the early terminology meant that somebody understood Islam. So what raised him and what made me choose him was that his relation to the... So the Prophet, so Umar on this said, Wallahi, by Allah, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ, that Allah with this book will raise people, will raise people, will raise the status of people, and he will displace others in accordance or in relation to this book. So this book, how your relationship with the book will determine how your position is in this life and in the next life. No doubt in the Quran and benefiting the Quran, we have to understand there is great barakah in the Quran. Recitation of the Quran is barakah. And this is unlike some of the materialistic, or maybe what might people who try to rationalize things and say, well, Quran, what is the Quran related in barakah? But there is no doubt, as a Muslim, we believe in the barakah, and no doubt there are certain surah, there are certain verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for that barakah. So seeking those as well, we will get the benefit inshallah ta'ala. Like as an example is Surah Al-Baqar, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna akhdaha barakah, وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةٌ وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةُ. In taking al-Baqarah and reciting al-Baqarah, there is barakah for the house. And leaving it, there will be sorrow. And it is something that the magicians and the sorcerers are unable to crack, if you like. They cannot overcome the power of the barakah. This is just an example of Surah Al-Baqarah and any other examples. So how do we really benefit from the Qur'an? It's essential that we understand that the Quran, there is barakah in reciting. So even if you don't understand the Quran, even if you don't know what you're reading, just reciting the Quran, there is greatness. There is reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each letter is multiplied by 10 times, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And not only that, there is blessing to attain with the Quran. So in addition to the hasanat, there is blessings that will come to the household, to the family, to the people. There is blessings in provision, there is blessing in terms of light. The house is not as considered a graveyard, because a place where the Quran is not recited is almost like a dead place. So understanding all of this, there is important that when we approach the Quran, we are going to be reciting the Quran, but there is more importance in when we approach the Quran that we are understanding the Quran. And therefore it is important, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if we want to get the remembrance, we want to get the full benefit, we have to be attentive. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. If you want the dhikra, you want the remembrance, you have to have a heart. Your heart has to be attentive. It has to be there. You have to be focused. Don't recite the Quran while you are somewhere else. And أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Your hearing must be there. You must be shaheed, you must be present, witnessing. So it's all about iqbal, it's all about turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your attentiveness and in your presence to get the best out of the Quran. And that's why we can recite the Quran seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's an important recitation. This is like a recitation of hasanat. Just sometimes, that's why we will read stories of the righteous people of the past reciting the Quran many times in Ramadan, like Imam Shafi'i is related to have recited the Quran twice a day in Ramadan, and Al-Bukhari and his likes once a day. That was a recitation of attaining the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then there's a recitation of tadabbur, reflecting about the Quran, because the Quran was sent down to be reflected. Remember, it's a guidance and it's the words of Allah. Do you not want to understand the words of Allah? Do you not want to know what you are reading? And so you need tadabbur. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. Should they not reflect on the Quran? Because if they were to reflect on the Quran, they will find that they will see that if it was from other than Allah, there will be so many mistakes, so many errors. But the Quran is beautiful, it's eloquent. There is messages, there's power, there is barakah, is all that means. But that can only be accessed if you are ready to ponder and reflect and contemplate and the Quran. And this means that in you being attentive with the Quran, a few practical tips here, and I will end because time is short. When you try to approach the Quran, make sure that you're approaching with that consciousness. So remember, as Sheikh Hasselina mentioned to us in the beginning, to have the intention. It's important with every actions that we have intentions. We are intending the best for everything. And same when you try to come to the Quran, have the intention. Focus your mind. What am I doing here? What do I want to achieve? The wider your intention, the vaster intention, the more the reward that you will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and more benefit, inshallah. And approach it with that reality. So firstly, make sure that you are having, you know, go and make wudu. Reciting Quran, just to recite the Quran, you don't need wudu. You need to be pure from any ritual. Any major ritual impurity, but just to recite the Quran, you can recite without wudu. But touching the Quran, the majority of the ulama said, if you're going to touch the Quran or carry the Quran, then you do need to have wudu. But even so, even if you're going to read the Quran without touching the mushaf, go and make wudu, because making wudu gives you that mindset. It's a preparation. Then choose a nice time, a time where, you know, it's a little bit quiet. Choose a time where, you know, don't make a Quran your sort of just, you know, I'm just going to read just to fill in my gaps, which again might be good in a way that you are making use of your free time, but try to also, for that reflection, have a dedicated time. A time maybe when the children are asleep, or a time when, you know, they've gone out and you are able to be attentive, inshallah. So you're having a peaceful attitude. And then as you begin the Quran, إذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله. Make sure that you seek refuge of Allah from the shaitan. So that helps you also to say, I don't want any of that distraction that's going to come from the shaitan. I don't want to be distracted. And then start reading the Quran. And try to have opportunities where you're reading a little bit of the Quran and reading the message. For somebody who doesn't know Arabic, and indeed, even if you do know Arabic, you know, people will need to understand the context of the Arabic words. Some of the Arabic words, a lot of Arabs will not know. So try to understand, what are these words? Read the translation that you are familiar with. Read a verse, read the translation, so you can understand and reflect on that verse, inshallah ta'ala. And try to see what kind of implications this has for me. How can I benefit from that? And also make sure that as you are reading the Quran, that you are continuously, as some of the commentators mentioned, that you should try always to revert back to the Quran. Don't just allow yourself to read the Quran and then go astray, and then you become an autopilot and you're reciting the Quran without even thinking. Maybe you're not even, you're lost. You know, which happens to a lot of us. It happens to us when we're doing wudu. It happens to us when we're doing salah. It happens to us in our a'mal. We go so many places forgetting that we are actually in the Quran. So to summarize, to benefit from the Quran, we need to be doing the nasiha, sincerity to the book of Allah. We need to have the right mindset. We need to understand the power of the Quran. We need to understand the Quran is a guidance, and there is barakah in the Quran. And then we have to approach the Quran with a attitude that we want to get the best, having the right intention, purifying ourselves and purifying the whole environment that will allow us to recite the Quran. And lastly, there is a great thing to be mentioned, although time has finished now, is to memorize the Quran, because in memorizing there is great benefit as well. That is a different topic as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us, myself and you, with the Quran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a Quran evidence for us on the Day of Judgment, not against us. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. Jazakumullah khair, sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.